Good morning, everyone. Good morning to all one of you. That was nice. Chair for the little people? Really, Vince? Jeez. I didn't even pick this chair, but I did notice it was a little low, so we'll just get comfy. Glad you're here this morning. If you're here for the first time, allow me to welcome you to Friends Church. Hopefully it hasn't been too painful. We want to create an environment where you can kind of connect with God in your own way, in your own space, and maybe think about some stuff. Got some stuff for you to think about this morning. But let me begin with this story. Years ago, Kathy and I were dating, my wife and I were dating, and we went through a season when things between us weren't good. And for anyone that's been in dating relationships, maybe you can relate to this, maybe you can't, maybe it was just perfect for you, I don't know, but this one particular season, a close friend of mine had been spending a lot of time with us, and loved him dearly. But it was a kind of a weird time in Kathy's and my relationship where, we had only been dating maybe 3 or 4 months. And I just noticed Kathy, at least in my head, acting a little differently toward me. And a little differently toward him, if you know what I'm saying. Now, she'll deny this. She's here this morning. She'll say, Jeff, that is not. But I know what I was picking up, okay? And I was just like, okay. And I remember we'd go out and hang out, chill out. And this guy was like smooth, perfect hair, nice car. You know, I didn't even think about this stuff before. But for that, you know, it just started. And then I remember being out one time and he'd remember to, hold the door for Kathy. Kathy go, oh, thanks, man. And I'd be like, I meant to do that. I was just, and he would say something and Kathy, and she'd laugh. And I'd be like, well, I could have said that to you. I mean, it was just, it's just weird how little things would happen, and all of a sudden, it's like I was noticing. I'd never really noticed this stuff before. And I remember one night we're out with all these people, including this guy and Kathy and I, and we were telling stories, and this guy started telling the story, and it was like, I remember just kind of looking over without Kathy noticing, and I was just watching the way that she was watching him tell the story. And I was just bothered. Strange, isn't it? I remember just thinking, wait a second. I think you kind of look at me like that. Are you used to it? I wasn't sure. And so I'm just kind of. And then I think, okay, my turn. I'm going to light it up here. And I start telling this story. She's just nauseous, just shaking her head. She's like, and I start telling the story, and one of those. And I'm like, I got the best material out, you know? I'm just like laying out there, cold fish response. Whether it's in my head or not, man, I'm telling you, my alarm bells are going off. Going off. This guy was a good friend, but I'm telling you, I was starting to look at him like he was a jerk. I'm just like, okay, I think you need to leave, pal. Like, in my mind, I'm thinking this. I'm going, what am I thinking? No, yes, there's. That night we left that party. Actually, partway through the party, man, I'm not feeling good. And Kathy goes to say something to me, and I just blocked her out. I'm thinking, all is not well, Kathy. We get into the car, man, and I am just burning hot under the collar. I don't even remember all that was said. I just remember this is a window, man, where things were not good. And she's looking at me like, why are you acting so? Like, she's like, what's gonna get me? And And then all I blow. And I say a bunch of stuff. I bet even that night, I probably said, I don't think this is working. And I think maybe. And knowing, I mean, she's like, I don't have a freaking clue what your problem is here right now. You don't have a clue. Now, I know none of you have probably ever gone through anything like this, but I'm telling you, I'm thinking I'm losing my mind. Over that window, I withdrew from her. I pretended I didn't want to talk to her. I began just monitoring everything and going back in my mind, everything that she had said and done. This, like, these are little things that were going on. What's weird is I was doing all these crazy things, saying crazy things, doing crazy things to her. Because I think down deep, I wanted her to love me more. Huh? Somehow I wanted to bring her close to me. You ever felt that way? Insecure in a really important relationship? Maybe it was with a partner or a spouse. Maybe it could have even been your mom or your dad. Just feeling threatened because maybe you feel like they love one of your other siblings more. You see them respond to someone else. Maybe it was a best friend. And all of a sudden, they're acting funny toward you and different to someone else. You just so badly need them in that moment when you're feeling such heightened insecurity. You're wanting that person to say something, to do something that will make you feel secure again, huh? But in the moment, they didn't. They weren't picking up on it. They don't know what's going on. They didn't respond the way you needed them to. The very thing you needed, you never got. And just ripped you up inside. Maybe for you, the more you tried to respond, try to get them to respond, the worse it got. Maybe out of desperation, you found yourself saying things, doing things that were like out of character for you. Maybe you completely withdrew like me. Maybe you just went, okay, screw you, I'm out. Maybe you just blew up and started firing back. Maybe you were just keeping track of every little thing and going, oh, when we talk, oh, I'm telling you, you build your case. There's something wrong here. Over the top behavior that in the end even surprised yourself. Especially towards someone you love so much. It's an interesting strategy, isn't it? To make someone love you more. To try to draw that person closer. What's up with that? Why do we do those kind of things? I want to talk about that this morning. Truth is, every week we'll do or say something or experience something that creates relational stress in a relationship we're in. And in the moment, we might not have a conscious clue what is going on. We might not have a clue about the strategies we're employing to try to make these people love us. But we're doing them. We're doing those things for a specific reason. We believe the more that we understand around here, what's underneath those strategies? What's underneath the harsh words, the withdrawing, the blowing up, the rolling of the eyes? What's behind all these things that we'll do or say? The more we can choose better strategies that actually improve our relationships, that actually will work in drawing those people closer. Ignorance, on the other hand, allows those strategies, those destructive patterns to just perpetuate. And before long, you have your kid saying, I'm just like you. And you watch your kid acting just like you. Oh, employing the same kind of distorted strategies to try to be loved. What we just illustrated through this video, even through this song, common strategies for people who are waves. Everything I've been talking about this morning, this is very common for people known as waves. That's what we want to talk about this morning. Last week, we introduced you to something known as attachment theory. Just basically new scientific learning about how we bond to the primary people in our life. Now, if you weren't around, or just to quickly recap, we found out that each of us bonds or attaches to people who are primary people. So we're not talking about everyone in your life, but the primary people that you are glued to in a deep relationship. You attach in one of three ways. You're either a wave, an island, or an anchor. Don't freak out if you don't understand, if you're sitting there going, I'm not sure what these things mean. That's okay. We're going to be walking through each of these over the next few weeks, unpacking them very clearly. If you want to cheat, you want to go ahead and figure out what you are because you're burning curiosity. Don't turn your phone right now and start looking this up, all right? Don't do it. But you can write down this address and go later. There's about a 50 question survey you can fill out. It'll tell you what your tendencies are. Do we fit neatly and carefully into each one of or one of these? No. We might have tendencies toward one. We might have a primary and kind of lean into the other. That's all right. We're going to spend the next few weeks unpacking this. This is fascinating stuff in terms of describing why you likely relate to those primary people in your life the way you do. Basically, it says that you've been attaching yourself to people in a certain way, likely since you were a child. Goes way back, lots of science in it. They say that your attachment style is basically formed by the time you're 4 years old. Very interesting. Now, basically, you're just mirroring the type of bond that we formed with our mom or our primary nurturer. So, anyways, let's talk about waves this morning, can we? People who anxiously attach themselves to others. We got lots of reading material, and there's one book particularly that I've leaned on. It's been fantastic. It's called Attached. Anyways, we'll go into that later. Though I don't think I'm a full-blown wave, I can tell you right now I got strong wave characteristics inside of me. I'm probably a wave-anchor hybrid. If you're a wave, one of the most obvious signs that you are is that you have a hypersensitive threat system. Let me describe what I mean by that. The threat system, you have a hyperactive, hypersensitive threat system. This is a mechanism in your brain that tracks and monitors both safety and the availability of your relationship with this primary person in your life. It tracks how safe the relationship is and how available they are to you. It's constantly monitoring that. I realize now, way back, when that scenario was building with Kathy and I, my threat system was firing hard. It was picking up subtle clues and warning me that not all was well with Kathy. It was just like antennas going out, listening, tone of voice, roll, eyes, body language. It's just on, and when you're a wave, it's just hypersensitive. Paying attention to everything. My threat system was screaming, Jeff, do something. You're losing her. That's what it was saying. We waves, we have incredibly sensitive threat systems. In fact, scientists performed an experiment using one of those morph movies. Have you seen those? They're like pencil drawings of a face. And it's like if you were to kind of take the end of the book and flip them, you know, we used to make cartoons, and you flip them, and all of a sudden this face goes from happy. And all of a sudden it starts changing, starts going to sad, then starts going to angry, and then it goes to excited, and you're watching this image just subtly change. It was the waves who could look at that and pick out quicker than any other attachment style, any kind of offset or onset of emotion. They could pick it up right now. They're going, oh, turning. He was happy. Now he's turning sad right there. They could pick it up way quicker than anyone else. Even the slight hint of change on your spouse's face, voice, body language. I mean, they could just, boom, oh, something's changed right there. They're not happy. Or, oh, that worked. That's what we waves do. What's also important to note is that though the waves were the quickest to perceive changes, they were also the most inclined to misread the changes, to misinterpret the signals. Oh, they were quick to say, oh, something changed. But often their conclusion about what was changing was the most inaccurate. So they could pick up change, but sometimes what they said, what the change was, wrong. That's very important information. Have you ever heard someone walk through a room and they come back over after they're with some people and they go, oh, so-and-so's PO'd at me. Really? How do you know that? Oh, I know. What did they say? Nothing. I could just tell. Have you ever seen that or heard that? Yeah. That is their threat system going off. They're going, oh, we got trouble over there. Are they accurate? Sometimes. Actually, he's just really sick. Oh. Threat system going off, but sometimes the signals aren't always accurate. Okay. Once the threat system, and this is very important, once the threat system starts firing internally, it starts cooking up strategies in hopes of drawing that person back closer. Now, some strategies I think get cooked up in our fast brain. We talked about last week, we have the fast brain and the slow brain. The fast brain is designed to protect us really quick. Slow brain is really, it's helping us try to be the person we want to be. The fast brain is just telling us, do this, do that. Watch out for that. What? Whoa, whoa. Watch out for the rock. Whoa. It's doing that. When we're in the middle of threat and we're feeling it, our fast brain is firing, coming up with strategies right now. But so is our slow brain. And sometimes they don't send the right signals. Sometimes they don't send the same signals. But the problem is, if left unchecked, your fast brain will almost always win. Check this out. Sorry, I had to find some way to get that in there. That is a classic. Fast brain, slow brain, right? Fast brain saying, nah, yeah, and then slow, oh no, baby, come on back. This is what was going on with Kathy and I. There were times when I am just losing it. And I'm saying stuff to Kathy, and even as it's coming out of my mouth, I'm going, oh no, don't say that. And yet there's a side of me that's going, maybe it'll work. Maybe it'll work. And then it didn't work. And she's going, okay, maybe it is over. I'm going, no, baby, no. I didn't mean that. There's one time I was so upset and I dropped her off at her place. And she's looking at me. She's like, okay, goodbye then. I'm like, the last thing I want to say is goodbye. I want her to say, no, let's not end that. I say, okay, goodbye. She goes walking in. And I'm thinking, she'll probably turn around here. I get in my truck. No, she's not turning around. I say, okay, fine. I start my truck. I'm driving away right now. No, she's not coming back. I drive down the block. I turn around, come back. I get out of the truck. Kathy, knock, knock, knock. I didn't mean that, baby. Crazy, fast brain winning out of slow brain. Then the slow brain looking at me going, what the heck are you doing? Going, what am I doing? What? The sad, ironic thing is that though as a wave, you're doing things that you want to make them love you, but the very things you're doing is just slapping them, hitting them, beating them up. You're doing things that are pushing them further away, and yet you're wanting to draw them in. making them feel untrusted or smothered or manipulated. Words of Brad's song ring loudly that he sang. Will you see her when you fall asleep, but never to touch, never to keep, because you loved her too much and you dive too deep. This is wave behavior, where you're just grabbing at straws because this threat system is firing and you're doing a bunch of different stuff and they're just going, whoa, whoa. What that other person often doesn't understand about their wave partner or child or friend is that when our threat system is tripped, when it's sounding off alarms, when we perceive that there is the relationship is going south and the alarm bells are going off, different than other attachment styles, waves need that person to turn off the alarm. They call it external soothing. They need the other person to go, hey, baby, it's okay. Whoa, shh, shh, shh. It's all right. Whoa, I don't know what's going on. It's okay. We need other people to calm us down. Waves, classic. They just keep phoning. And then and the other partner's going, hey, we're done talking. Ring, ring, no, we're not. No, we got to keep talking. These are extreme behaviors of a wave, but waves need another person to bring them down, to set the alarms off, turn them off. We can't do it very easily, if at all, on our own. Ideally, for a wave, the person they're wanting to attach themselves to will respond in a way that will tell our system to relax. That's perfect. That's the perfect scenario. It's the other person that will say, whoa, hey, what's going on here? No, I just couldn't, I was in a meeting. I couldn't take your call. Relax. Sorry, we were out for the whole night. And then we went from there and we went to this and this. That's why I didn't even get your message. Relax, relax. That's perfect for waves, to have another person be able to bring them down and go, okay, hey, relax. External regulation or soothing. Now, if it doesn't happen, waves can often end up living in a constant state of threat. If the other person is just going, I don't know what your problem is, like, you need help. And they're just going, but Dad, I just, you know what, kid? It's enough. And they're just sit there in that place. That's what was happening in this one window with Kathy and I. Certain situations put me in that danger zone, in that threat, place of threat. Kathy didn't even know what was going on. She didn't know what I was feeling. It was, and I was subtle. It wasn't like I was freaking out and falling over. I was just like, oh man, I don't feel good right now. And I'm reacting. She's like going, I don't know what your problem is. Sometimes she'd say something that would give me a little bit of security. And then she'd do something else that I'd pick up on. I'd go, oh, there it is again. There, and then back into the alert. Back into the threatened feel. Struggling to keep my emotional balance. This was just not me. What a sickening feeling. When I look back throughout the Bible, I see different ones. King Saul jumps out at me as a guy who likely had wave tendencies. Peter, especially. But the story of Saul, that's a good one. I mean, he's sitting there and he's hearing the stories. King David, this new guy on the block, and everyone's now raving about him. He's the real king. And he's going, what? My chopped liver? And it's just bugging him. And then all of a sudden this depression moves in. They're going, man, he can't self-regulate. What do? Of all things, they bring in David, the guy that's the problem, bring him in and he's playing away, trying to soothe him, you know, the story. And Saul's just like, him. And next thing you know, he's trying to kill David. It's a classic story of a guy that can't not tell the threat system to turn off. And they're employing different strategies to turn it off. Power. Well, interesting. Did they call it that at the time? No. The good news for us waves out there, for those who are in a relationship with a wave, is that there are ways to minimize the drama, the anxiety. Let me talk about this quickly. First of all, a few words for the waves in the crowd. Simple, be authentic. The word is used so much that it can almost lose its power, but listen carefully to me. Acknowledge your natural attachment style. Here's the thing about us waves. I don't like to admit I'm a wave. Vince keeps saying that. He says, every person I think is a wave, I say, I think you're a wave. And they go, no, I'm not. Because there's something needy, hey? There's something emotional. There's something wimpy about wave qualities. Especially in the Western world, no one wants to be that. You don't want to have to be dependent on someone else. I don't want to admit I have wave qualities. I mean, whoever goes around saying, oh, what I need is a high-maintenance woman. Man, I have a high-maintenance boyfriend, man. No one says that. No, I want low-maintenance. I want to have to worry about her. I'll tell her I love her once when we're married and, you know. It just seems more socially acceptable to maintain a cool, self-sufficient facade. So waves will often try to accommodate their partner's need for distance, boundaries, especially if they're in a relationship with an island. We'll hide our wishes, mask our discontent. Listen to me, waves, don't do that. Own the fact that you'll do your best in relationships where you can talk freely, where you can engage often and closely with the person you're in a relationship with. Own the fact that you need someone to help regulate you and soothe you and make you feel safe. Own it. Admit it. Here's the thing. The more true you are to yourself, the more people around you understand how you tick, the more they get it, the more they're going to be able to provide the things that you're needing. And you know what ends up happening is when you feel safe, you become a different person. When you're insecure, you become a very unattractive person. Extremely. Extremely. When you are safe and secure, it's a wonderful thing. Secondly, communicate effectively. For a wave, communicating to the other person what they need is a very scary thing. Already, your alarm bells are just this close from going off with people around you. You're almost convinced, just based on this anxious attachment style, that they're going to leave. Extreme waves are almost convinced the shoe's going to drop any moment and they're going to walk out the door. So waves tend to not ever be honestly about what they're feeling or needing. They are almost convinced inside their head, if I tell you what I need, you'll leave. I know that. So they don't. They don't say, oh, I like it when you say you love me. Oh, or whatever it is. No. They tend not to. It's easy to become convinced. If I tell them what I need, they're heading for the door. That's why communicating effectively for a wave is very tricky. Sadly, though, when the waves finally get to the point where the alarm bells are so high and they're ringing so loud, that when it's time to say something, it's not just simply talking. It's explosive. It's accusatory. It's critical. It's threatening. The storm blows open. And they're saying a bunch of things they don't want to say. That's not what I mean by communicating effectively, just in case we're... If you want to get to the place where you're not continually feeling anxious about your relationship, you have to take a leap and begin talking. Something simple like this. I love you very much, but I need to know that you're there for me. All the time. Right now, with some of the things that are being done or said, this thing, or when you say that, I just don't feel safe. I just don't feel safe. to say something like, I just want to know that I can talk to you every day and not just when it's convenient for you. I don't want to have to cover up my wish to spend time with you for fear of driving you away. I don't want to have to do that. Maybe there's a specific behavior that person is doing. You need just to say, when you do that, it makes me feel insecure. It makes me feel unsafe. I'm sorry. I'm just being honest with you. It just makes me feel unsafe. Could I ask you not to do that? See, now listen carefully to me. Waves. The good news is, for some of you, when you're able to be open about some of the stuff and honest about what you need, that person is going to respond in a way exactly what you need. That's the good news. For some of us, when we learn to communicate well, they're going to go, that's what you need? Really? You just need me to do that? Yeah. Okay. Done. You just need me to stop saying that or doing that? Yes. Okay. It's over. Good. You good? Is that what you need? Okay. And you'll go, wow, I don't know why I didn't say something sooner. However, for some of you, when you do this, the person you're in a relationship with, there's a chance, might not understand, might not be willing to do what you need. They might look at you and go, okay, that's not what I signed up for. Just want to be honest with you. And at that point, then you got it. You got some choices. Maybe you can say, you know what? We need to go and talk to someone. And if that's the case, we have some great professionals we want to help team up and be able to talk that through. For some, it might be a turning point in your relationship where you go, I'm not sure I am linked up with the right person here. We're dating. No, they are not ready to commit to who I am and what I need. Now, just a few words of advice for those of you who are in a relationship with a wave. Those of you who are maybe dating, those of you who are married to a wave, needing to understand how to turn off the alarm system going off inside of them, to soothe them. Just a few quick points. Number one, turn toward them. Don't walk away. Don't ignore. Don't dismiss them. They say, this is what I need. Are you kidding me? Okay, I'm done. I'm out. No, man, those alarm bells are ringing. Don't walk away. Turn toward them. Look them in the eye. Let them know I am interested in what is affecting you right now. I want to understand. Secondly, watch your tone. Tone is extremely important. They can pick that up in a heartbeat. They can tell if you're what? Bing, bing, bing. Like nothing's helping there. I'm sorry. Okay, whoa. Easy. Okay. Thirdly, touch. Sometimes just grabbing them on the shoulders. Take them by the hand. Just say, come here. Whoa, come here. Let me give you a hug. No, you're not. No, give me a hug. I don't want to. Just come here. Just come here. That leads into this last point. Flood them with positive statements. Flood them. Waves are notorious for saying, you don't even care about, and I do care about you. No, you don't. And yes, I do. I care about you so much. You don't even love me. I love you so much. No, you don't. I will never give up on you. This is a weird thing. You can feel like it's a bottomless pit if you're working with a wave and go, oh man, how much am I going to have to say? No. I know, and you just keep flooding, and all of a sudden, the alarm bells go from a 5 to a 4, to a 3, to do, all of a sudden, you're just like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say those things. I know you didn't. Come here. I don't know why. You're okay. We're okay. Just imagine if, for all of you here today who are waves or have wave tendencies, if someone knew how to look you in the eye when you're in that state and just go, bring you right down. The person you love most, the thing that you want the most, if they could figure it out and go, hey, come on, what do you need? And you just feel safe. For some of you who are in these relationships with these people and you're just going, man, they're going off. What if that insecure person that just seems so clingy, so needy, went away? And all of a sudden, they start acting the way that they did when you first met them. So secure. Done. We want us to be in relationships that are secure. Healthy attachments. That's what we want. And if you're a wave this week, would you take steps this week to own who you are? Communicate better what you need. If you're in that relationship, would you do better at reaching out to that person, doing what you need to make them feel secure? Let's do it, huh? God, help us. You know us better than we know ourselves, I believe. You're going to help us do this right. We're going to love better and love deeper, making a difference in our world, in our families, and in our friendships. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great week, everyone. See you next week. Talking about islands. Do the survey.